It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 320. What did we do?
328. And we've got our mate Oscar Gordon in the house.
Lovely to be here.
What's happening?
I say Oscar's my mate, but I didn't even know that he actually lived in Melbourne.
Not a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Josh has just panicked with the your mic technique.
Sorry. I'm not normally on the microphone, but how's that? Is that really good? I'm so impressed by your graphics at the start of the podcast, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can thank
Marty Sharp.
Marty Sharp for putting that together.
He's a motion graphics guy who moved to LA. He does like Ellen DeGeneres's.
But for all we know, he may be back living in Melbourne
if
it goes by Josh's knowledge of where people are living.
Well, because you spend how much of the time in Canada a year?
So I work for a ski resort called Silver Star in Canada. And so their winter starts, middle of November and goes till about April.
Yeah.
And I was there in December and then I went back just recently for 3 weeks. So when it's winter, I'll head back over there and I'm lucky to sort of do both. And now based in Melbourne because I haven't lived here for a long time, but I'm from here originally.
Mm. Yeah. So our connection, our mums lived in London together.
I didn't know that.
Didn't you know that?
No.
And your mum and my mum went to Austria and my mum came home with a broken leg.
Oh, really?
I think she broke her ankle, but Joan was there. And Oscar's mum also married Amy and I.
Mm, there you go.
So is she a full-time wedding celebrant or is that just a side hustle?
She is now, yeah.
Where is she?
But for many years she was doing it as a side hustle while she was working as a teacher.
Yeah.
And although it's so weird, my mum, she's got all these sort of weird things that she does on the side. One time she actually came over and visited me in Canada and it was summer there and I was looking at my phone, like through my phone, and I saw a screenshot of her in the millionaire hot seat. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you I was on Millionaire." I'm like, "What do you mean you forgot to tell me? How do you forget to say that you were on with Eddie?" And so she went, I'll tell you why, because she only won $1,000, which, hey, it's not too bad.
I wonder how that, do you know how the money actually gets to her? Do they write out checks?
No. Does anyone do that anymore?
I don't know. I just remember, do you like Eddie, like when it would get to the, like when it was the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Oh, yeah. I think that was all just part of the hoo-ha, just like write the check, slide it across the table. Your answer would get you that.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
it's theatrics.
Yeah.
It's all pay pass now, just a square type of thing. Yeah, interesting. No, well, the reason that I did know that you spent some time in Melbourne was because I was living at my parents' place for a while and they're big viewers of A Current Affair.
Yeah.
And so I was very chuffed when I saw you, not only on A Current Affair, but there was reenactments involved. There was a point where you were even using some form of foil as a what's that called when you do that?
Reflective. Yeah. I think we need to preface that it was the best possible appearance on that show because you weren't the aggressor or you were
I wasn't being tracked down in the middle of the street. No, not yet. So what happened was I was walking home. I got home and I'm walking past my bedroom window, my bedroom, look out and I see the window has got a brick fence being built over it. So next door, when we moved in, they were building a house completely fine and then it got to the stage where they're building it against my brick wall. And I'm talking like there's like 1 millimeter difference between the brick wall and my bedroom window, which is the only source of light. So they had built it, completely covered it because they were building next door. They had planned permits, all fine. But I was trying to get in touch with my real estate agent and get them to try and put together some sort of a skylight. Yeah. They didn't. It took forever. It was like a week. It ended up being 2 months with no light at all in my room, which is a weird thing after a while.
I mean, if you're doing night shift, it's okay, but you weren't.
If you're eternally hungover, it's fine. I thought stuff and I'm just going to put it up on social and it just like, everyone was like, what the hell are you doing living in a room with no window? So, and then next minute, A Current Affair, I thought stuff it, I will do it because nothing had happened. I had nowhere one to turn to except for Tracy.
I mean, there's only two people. I mean, I've just never done a reenactment. Josh has done reenactments on the news before.
Channel 9.
What I've always wondered is seeing that, like, and I know you, and I know you kind of, what I could see is you've taken a bit of the piss.
Well, do you know what? Because I just thought when they, because they come over, it was first thing in the morning, and they want to do the interview straight away. And because, you know, we sort of understand what they're after, I just said to them, oh, you know, can we just, with this, I just don't want to make it like poor me, because, you know, privileged white male, you know, complaining about not getting any light when people are dying out there and stuff, you know, they can't afford their bills and stuff. On the grand scheme of things, it's not that full on. So I said, we should, it should be a bit light. But having said that, I was like, you know, what do you want me to sort of talk about? Anyway, so we did the pieces to camera, and then they said, oh, can we do some cutaways? And I said, yeah, no, that's fine. They said, can we do a bit of an interview with you in your bed? And so there's me propped up in the bed with the current affair lady. And then they said, oh, come outside. So I went outside and I was just sitting down, and this one of the producers just passed me a tray with alfoil on it. And they said, and they literally just started, I didn't even have time to realize what the whole purpose was. And they said, so Oscar, what have you got here? And I just went, I'd do anything just to get a little bit of light. And it was, it's just so embarrassing. But it was, I think it was the first time the current affair almost did a parody on themselves.
I know. Fuck, I gave you too much credit.
I said, Oscar, 100%.
Content mind.
Yeah. Content mind, one of the best content minds in Australia, done viral videos. He knows what to do to get those views.
What did your property manager, because the issue that I would have is not being on a current affair. It's then having to interact with the property manager being like, yeah, that was me, yeah.
Well, no, I told them. I said, hey, this is going to happen. Can we get some sort of a fix on it? Because I didn't want to do it. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to have to do that. But in the end, it was all sort of, you know, funny. And, anyway, let's just say since it's been aired, I've got a big skylight in my room, which I can open up, although it's kind of annoying because you've got the stick there. So it's like, oh, the rain's coming in. So I'm opening it up. But, yes, it's automated. It's got a little shutter that comes down and up. So depending on how I feel, I can change the light. So I'm very privileged now.
Yeah, I will say that my favourite part of the video was the expert that came in.
Well, the wellness expert, I think it was.
Pacing around. Like they couldn't even get a sleep expert, couldn't get a scientist. They had a wellness
doctor, no way.
They had a wellness expert or something. I was like, come on.
Yeah, it's I'm now, like, you know when you type your name in and it sort of predicts on Google and it predicts what it is.
What did you type in?
Oscar Gordon. It used to be Oscar Gordon, Sophie Monks, friends with her. And then, but now it's like Oscar Gordon, brick wall. And I was like, oh, that's my claim to fame. That's so embarrassing.
And I'm not on social media anymore, but Tommy keeps me up to, on Instagram. I retired from my personal social media.
Personal social
media. It was getting too much.
Just don't do anything.
Yeah, no, well, that's what I did. I retired. I'm just relaxing.
But do you look through still?
Well, no, I stopped doing that because I realised I started hating all of my friends. Like, do you have moments where you're like, I actually like these people, but I think they're fuckwits online. And so I realised, I'm like, you know, this is me. I need to take a break.
I think if you're a fuckwit online, then you're a
fuckwit. A fuckwit in general. I've got a lot of fuckwit friends.
Yeah, I think you need to unfollow a lot of your friends. It does get annoying after a while when you start seeing stuff, but I just unfollow. Yeah. And then,
I feel uncomfortable with the, I'll do like the hide before the unfollow because I just can't deal with the drama.
Yeah, it depends who it is, to be honest. If you know you don't ever see them again, then I'll definitely unfollow. Yeah.
Well, I've actually, in 2011, someone unfriended me on Facebook. It was a cinematographer that I met once on a shoot and he unfriended me. And so I've actually got an email that I sent him being like, hey, mate, just wanting to know if you're okay. Jeez. It was quite full on. So I've got sort of a bit of a dark past when it comes to unfriending and unfollowing. So,
well, do you know what? There was this lady that I used to work with in radio. She was one of the receptionists. And every time I'd go past, I'd be like, oh, we had a great, you know, banter, you know, little office jokes here and there and all that sort of stuff. And I stupidly downloaded that app where you can see who's unfollowed you.
Yeah.
Fucking unfollowed me. Really? And I was like, what was it? Is there anything that I said when I walked past you at the reception? Did I do anything? Like, why can't you have this open and up, you know, honest conversation with me? And so I was like, fine, I'll just unfollow you. And I gave her as much love.
There's two types of people, the people that actually say something to their face and the ones that just bit of passiveness behind their back, unfollow.
Yeah. Was it Julie at Fox? Was it Jules? Was
that? No, it wasn't. She's lovely.
ARN.
We don't follow each other.
So Oscar used to work on the Kyle and Jackie O show in Sydney. And you actually, Josh took over from
he replaced,
other way.
Yeah. So Oscar replaced me.
Oscar replaced Josh.
I actually got a goodbye card when I was leaving and Sam Cav had written, welcome to the team, Oscar, exclamation mark, in my card and then had scribbled it out.
That's actually
which
funny.
Is a good bit of gear.
Yeah, that's definitely a bit of gear from Sammy.
But, so you were doing Fifi and Jules.
Yeah.
Was that when – was Sophie Monk looking after that spot or was it
– Yeah, so I was working – before that I worked in comedy for a comedy company.
That's right. And then is it Token or something?
Token,
yeah. What did you do there?
Online coordinator.
Okay.
Token is like next door. Is that Token?
Yeah.
They've moved. So we, then Jules was doing, that's right. So Fifi was having her first child. Sophie Monk replaced. And then Jules calls me up and says, hey, can you do, you know, this big song's about to drop. It's Robin Thicke, Blurred Lines. Remember that song?
Yeah, yeah.
Where you see, you remember the music video and in the background they've got Emma Ratajkowski or, and she's.
I'm sure Mr. 97 could pronounce her name.
No chance. You shorten it to Rata.
Oh, is that what you do with your mates?
Yeah.
Is that what you send each other? Have you seen Rata?
I'm pretty sure that's her name on Instagram.
Anyway. Okay, mate.
Well, she was, she's famous for having sort of, she was naked basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And so you had Robin Thicke there and like weird animal goats and stuff like that all against the wall. Anyway, so Jules wanted to do a parody of this song which just dropped and it was just about to get services. So they all knew it was going to be a big hit. He wanted to be, you know, there first. And so he said, oh, mate, can I get you to help me out? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it, thinking that I was going to help produce it or direct it or something like that. I rock up to the sound stage and there's a billion people everywhere and he's like, all right, mate. And he hands me a G-string and expects me to wear just a G-string, a skin-coloured G-string and prance around and then wear a mullet on the back of it. And so I'm actually in this Blurred Lines
parody.
But
you did it. You actually...
I did it. I thought, oh, I've got, you know...
You got to lose.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
Is that not the first time Jules Lund's punked you like that? I'm sure.
No, yeah. Well, so I think it was just a bit of a communication breakdown. But anyway, so I'm there.
Was it?
It definitely wasn't. Knowing Jules, it was very strategic.
Yeah, left out the banana hammock.
So I'm there on stage holding a goat, like that they'd just given me and they're, you know, performing to the song or whatever. And then I look out the corner and there's Sophie Monk, like, enters and she's off stage and she's got a dart in her mouth and she's, you know, got her, you know, makeup artist, her whole team around her. And I just thought, oh, my God, what an L.A. entitled, you know, woman. I thought, oh, God, Sophie Monk, whatever. And then apparently the flip side to that is since then we've become best friends and you know, we do a lot of stuff together. Her first impression of me was, oh my God, what is this try-hard guy doing in a G-string holding a goat? Like, how much of an exhibitionist does this guy want to be? So it was funny. We sort of both went into that way. Anyway, and then a couple of weeks later, I worked with Fifi and Jules for 6 months and then moved to Sydney.
Yeah, so you were in charge of all the content. I feel like there's probably only one or two radio shows in Australia that have put a real emphasis on video, even when radio stations are like, no, we need to focus on audio, which is silly. They should be focusing on an element of video. And Kyle and Jackie O was one of them. So you came on as the, what was it, the video producer?
Executive digital producer was my title.
Oh, good, yeah.
Because they asked me what title did I want and I just went with that because it sounded really good.
You can get more cash that way too, I believe.
Executive title?
Yeah, executive. It's good.
Definitely.
It's true though, right? Like they always say, oh, don't worry about the title. It doesn't matter. Fucking title, when they're looking at how much they pay you and they're looking at the scales and all that sort of shit, it does make a difference.
Yep. So I worked with them for 2 years in total and then worked with you a bit. So we were working out of Sydney and then I did a bit of stuff in Melbourne as well.
And then you went over to Canada. So there's a guy in a podcast at the moment called Hamish McLaren and he is the arsehole of the podcast. He's the guy that was ripping everyone off. It's called Who the Hell is Hamish? Okay. It's a true crime. It's like, you know, fits into that genre of a guy who's ripping off all these people. But he had a house in Silver Lake.
Silver Star.
Yeah, he had a house over at the ski resort. Did you hear about him at all?
This was a while ago. I think it was in the 90s. But yes, apparently he scammed a lot of people around the area with a lot of money, pretending like he owned all these properties and boats and cars and whatever. And then I can't remember that. And then it turned into a podcast. And it started from this guy proclaiming to have all this money and wealth at Silver Star.
Yeah, it's a good plug for the podcast, actually, even though he hasn't seen it. But I just wanted to see if you'd heard it when you were living there. But so what you were doing over there, how did that job come about, going over to Canada?
So I was working with Kyle and Jack at the time and then I went on a holiday to Silver Star with Sophie. And while I was there, I was getting her to take video of, well, you know, trying to get some great social media. And we wanted to do that thing where you dive into the snow.
Yeah.
And so she's like, no, what? You know, the snow's like that big. Yeah. And she's like, no, if I jump in, I'm just going to go straight and fall straight, you know, through onto the ground. I said, no way. You know, I'm 6'6" and a half. I'll start it. I said, you go over there. You got the camera. I'm like, put the camera lower. I want to make it look really good. I put it on slow-mo so we can slow it down. Anyway, so I do a big jump into the snow and then I can't get out. Like my knee's really hurting and I was almost suffocating, to be honest. Sophie is pissing herself laughing, thinking I'm just playing up for the camera. It's a bit of a joke. And I can't even get myself out of there. Anyway, long story short, I did my knee and I couldn't move and I couldn't do anything. I had to stay there longer to let it heal a little bit to then go and fly back to Australia and get it fixed. But while I was there, they offered me a job and I was like, you know what, I don't want to leave. So
did you have travel insurance?
Yeah.
No, I probably didn't.
Oh, no.
No, I did. I definitely didn't.
You did?
No, I didn't. So it was like $1,000 to see a doctor.
$1,000 doesn't seem too bad.
You got a job out at the end.
Oh yeah, I did.
And so you got full-time employment from doing your knee.
Were you actually on annual leave when you were there? Like, did you have to make any calls to bosses and be like, hey guys, I fucked my knee, I'm going to be an extra few weeks?
Yeah. Well, we were sort of negotiating what we're going to do anyway. Oh, so it's sort of, I think.
That's right. I bumped into you in Sydney and it was just at that time where you were working out whether you get out of the radio.
Yeah, because you sort of get to a... Because you both left radio. Mm. You both know it's like I started doing community radio when I was really young, loved it, still love it. And you go in there and it's, you can't even describe the sort of environment that it is, but it's very full on and you're constantly, you know, tasked with creating as many ideas as possible. And I was really driven to do the best that I possibly can. And I think you just get to the stage where you naturally burn out. And for me, and that coupled with the hours and an opportunity to, you know, I felt like I'd done that and it was good to sort of go into a different area and look at budgets and, you know, different sales and money and business and all that sort of stuff.
I feel like you're an example of someone who has things happen to them, or it's like people on social media, there's certain friends that they have, they just have things that are content worthy. And straight after the current affair thing, your car was stolen.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so which is gold. Like I've had a few things. I've had a fire at my apartment. I've had like someone ram raid across the road.
So I saw that.
Yes, good things happen to me as well.
Yeah.
But not to the other people around him.
Yeah. So how the fuck did someone steal your car?
So I know this thing happened on like my work recognize I'm a liability, but they're okay with that.
Yeah.
So I walk out and I'm like, oh, where's my car? And I thought, what did I do last night? Who did I give it
this
to?
Is in
Where
Melbourne?
Did I leave it? This is in Melbourne and Richmond.
How much did I drink?
Yeah, but I didn't that night. And I was so proud of myself for that. And then I was proud because I was like, no, I left it here. And I'm trying to, like, I thought I was losing my mind. Anyway, it got stolen. And I had to make the call to my work to say, hey guys, the car's been stolen. And they were like, oh, they thought that was funny. Yeah. Like, oh, it's typical Oscar.
And this is in, Oscar. Is this your boss is in Canada?
Yeah, or? Yeah. And the time difference meant that they thought that it was just after New Year's, but it was actually, because of the time difference, it's actually 2 days after. So they thought I had a massive New Year's, I've lost the car. But the fact that they were okay with it shows how cool they are.
Is that
people.
The first call you make to the boss? I'll
call the police, yeah.
You thought about calling the police first? Or
no, well, you called the police first, did you, or no?
Called his boss.
I can't remember. I was like, the police. It's not like a murder. Yeah,
you definitely didn't have insurance.
Like, I had insurance. Oh, yeah.
So on the side of the car is a big decal of the business.
Yeah, which says like in big branding, Silver Star Skier. Like it's a big part of the bit. You know, not. It's a very loud looking car. Mm. Like when you drive around it, you get a lot of looks while you're driving.
I've spotted it a couple of times. So that's how much a decal actually has impact.
Yeah. It's like stealing a Domino's car or something, you know, like a delivery.
Your little scooter.
Well, there's more of them. You blend in. So this is pretty unique. A ski resort in Canada, a car in Australia, in Melbourne.
That's a good gig. You've done pretty well there managing
very
a car.
Lucky.
It's really good. But anyway, you fucking lost it.
Very lucky, but I lost it. Like, you know, ridiculous. And so I knew I couldn't call on a current affair yet because I've done that. And then so
have
I
you got Tracy's myself, number?
favour Trace. So that wasn't a possibility. And then it'd been a couple of days. The police, to be honest, they're all obviously awesome people. Mm. But with, I think, cars, particularly in that area, things get stolen all the time. They just don't have the resource to be able to churn through it.
Mm. I tell you what also is bad. Fraud cases, if you have to report one of those.
Yeah.
Like you've got to fill out this lengthy paperwork. And you
what sort of fraud? What do you mean?
Oh, even suggesting I might have.
No. The guys next door, they had someone try and buy a product through them that was like, you know, $10,000. Yeah. They'd already paid for the order, but it was a false order. And so they went in to report this.
Yeah.
I was like, look.
Especially, like digital sort of crime and stuff and identity. It's fucking hard. That's why it's always good using your credit card rather than using like an FPOS card. Like if you know how FPOS cards has like the Visa option or something. Yeah. So much harder to get your money back than it is the credit card companies. Yeah. Mm. But anyway, so the car.
The car is there, stolen, and police, a little bit of, not much is happening. Where insurance is happening at this stage. Mm. A couple of days pass. I've actually gone off on holiday on the Yarra. Where is it? The Murray River. That's right. Mm-hmm. I was in Echuca and for a couple of days.
Yarra River would be a bit safe.
Depends where you're from. Anyway, so I thought, oh, do I post it on social media? I thought, I just look like I can't get my shit together.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I've got nothing else to lose. I might as well do it for a little bit of promotion, if anything. Yeah. And hopefully, maybe it kind of comes up. So take a photo. I'm like, car stolen, blah, 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 blah. These are the details. My cousin, younger cousin, Louis, calls me a couple of days later and he goes, hey, mate, did you find your car? And I said, no. And he goes, oh, because I think I know where it is. It's that he was walking along somewhere in South Melbourne on his way to work. And so he's... Because I've moved around a lot, he doesn't have my mobile number. We're talking through Facebook chat, Messenger or whatever.
Yeah.
He's been questioned by the police at this stage because he called the police to say, hey, I found it, if you just want to collect it or whatever.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they said, well, how did you find it? How do you know Oscar? And he's like, oh, I'm cousins with Oscar. Oh, okay, well, where does he live? He couldn't, like, know the answer. And they said, oh, okay, well, do you have his mobile number? And he didn't have that. So suddenly it turned on, the poor thing, he's found my car and they think that he's stolen it. But anyway.
He's suspect number one.
Got the car back. So weird. There was a bike tire that was in the back of it. So
weird.
And lots of dusting from the police.
That is one thing. The police should do the wiped out. I've had my car fingerprinted. Someone jumped on my front window and I came out and all I see is dust everywhere. It's like chalk or whatever it is to find the fingerprints, to lift the
fingerprints. Like you see in the film, movies, yeah.
But the car was just filthy. So I had this smashed windscreen. I needed to go to the servo, but I needed to have the window changed before I did that. Yeah. And shit was everywhere.
That's so annoying.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Wait,
babe.
So do you just take the car back and start using it, or does what happens at that point?
Just take the car, you've got
it. Did you sniff the seats or something? Like, make sure.
Not a big seat sniffer.
There's the headline of today's show.
But yeah, so there was a tire in there and you're like...
There's a tire and a bandana and that's all we had.
Yeah, a bandana.
And another set of keys which actually had an address on it for some place in South Yarra.
So you went and stole their car.
So I thought, fuck this. No, and karma. So I told the police anyway, they were unable to follow up because, hey, it could have been a lead for something else. But I think they probably got a bit on at the moment.
So what did you do with the keys?
Actually, there's still my house. Anyone in Marne Street in South Yarra, I've got your keys.
That's crazy, isn't it? Bizarre. Like even when I filmed the Ram raid on Smith Street, I said to the cops, I'm like, hey, guys, do you want the footage? They're like, it's like they don't have any computers with USBs. Mm. They don't know how to fucking take it. They're like, don't know how to accept the footage.
Not quite like you'd think on that. Yeah.
Not to mention the NBN again, but they've spent a fuckload on that.
I mean, that's not the police's fault, but I understand what
you're
saying.
No, but the money, resources from the government.
Yeah.
Public servants, that's how they're being funded.
Yeah, it's
so there could be a bit of money taken from that fucking stupid NBN. Anyway.
I think Tommy's just upset about the NBN.
Yeah, wow, this is suddenly shit's getting real over here.
Well, the reason he brings it up is because we actually just got installed in our new office because we can't get the NBN, but there's internet service providers now that will spit like high speed internet, like 100 megabits through the air, like point to point. It's like,
wow. Because I'm going to say I don't really know a lot about that side of things, but I want fast internet for some fucking reason in my house. I cannot get it.
Well, no, it's because the NBN is shit.
Yeah.
But do you know what? Like even like when it happened, when they announced this big NBN rollout, I thought to myself, I reckon if we wait a couple of years, the wireless thing's going to be okay. Mm. We're going to be able to do it without having any... Anyway, no expert.
I mean, you've definitely felt the pain of working at these big radio stations where the internet was subpar.
Oh, uploading large video files. Mm.
But that is what that your job entailed.
Yeah.
Dealing
just that. Just uploading.
Senior executive uploader. Yeah. You got paid a lot though.
What is the... being in Canada, what are some of the things that the Canadians... have right that Australia needs to adopt in regards to life?
They are really just chilled out people. Mm, they're really, really friendly. They are also – the marijuana's legal there.
Really?
It's really weird because it's so legal there. It's just not an issue. And here you look at it like in the news and stuff, or politicians answering – questions about whether or not we'd even potentially go down that path, and they're like, oh, no. But the world hasn't stopped in Canada or wherever else it's legal. So it's interesting that.
What are you seeing happen? Like, do you notice it when you go over there? Just
no, not at all.
Plume of smoke.
You don't just see people, yeah, just with burgers or whatever. Just
I do wonder, like marijuana, like if it was legal, I wonder if I would still be like whether I would be someone who would do it. Do you find that like I could be maybe like a you know, the oil that everyone's talking about
CBD
that's meant to calm you down?
Yeah, so it doesn't have the psychoactive elements of marijuana. I think it is. So it's like
that stuff would be good. But I get asthma, so I don't know about the whole.
It's
like
not going to give you asthma.
But the cookie, like, what's the like? Is it very common to like? Is that edibles? Is that what that is, or is that it's edibles different to cookies?
Edibles are cookies.
Cookies are edible.
Yeah.
And so is that a common thing? Like if you go to a like
I think they had specialised places that you just don't see or hear. Mm-hmm. It's not like you walk into a Woolworths and you've got your edible section over there and you've got pure marijuana strands over there. Yeah, whatever it is.
But you go to like Coles or Woolworths in New Zealand and there's just in the main supermarket an aisle with beer and alcohol. Hard liquor. So it's like integrated into the actual
shop. That's like Aldi though, isn't it?
Oh, I guess that they're doing some wine now.
Miss No 7, do they have
he's the only alcohol?
They got wine.
You get a little bottle?
Mum does.
Mum does. A little cheap number. You got a suggestion of what brand?
Well, I think that's
Sauvignon Blanc.
Sauvignon Blanc. He's good. That is good.
I feel like that's coming back.
Is it a Sav?
I don't know. I just feel like if I just say something like that, people might think, oh, yeah, he knows his wines.
And so what do you actually do day to day when you're in Canada in sort of
and not doing ACA stories or finding your car that was stolen?
Yeah, getting my shit together. So I spend the whole year trying to get my shit together. Then I go over to Canada. No, so in Canada, it depends. Every day is different. Mm. That's what they used to always say in radio. Every day is different.
It's like, that's a way of saying I don't fucking do anything as well. Like freelancers, oh, every day is different.
Every day is
you don't have any clients, do you?
So there, it'll depend on because I love doing content every now and again. Mm-hmm. And so my role is to get as many Australians and New Zealanders over to Silver Star. The problem with Silver Star is we actually book out at the peak periods when we want to go away on holidays.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's about you know showing reasons why you should go through the other times. And to be honest with you, it's the weather's better the later you go. So anyway, that's just a side note. So when I'm over there, I might do – like we did this thing where we wanted to raise – two things. We wanted to talk about Silver Star, the fact that it's open, it's we've got a lot of snow, but we also wanted to talk about the ski school that we've got there and in the Rippers program. So young kids go there, they learn how to ski, they have a good time, it leaves mum and dad the ability to be able to go off and do whatever they want to do. And so what I'm obsessed with is puppies and dogs, and particularly these particular dogs over there called Bernese Mountain Dogs. They look like the Beethoven ones, but they're almost cuter. Yeah.
My mate had two in Australia.
Cruel. Yeah. They're big, big, big things.
Ginormous.
Studio apartment. Or
no, it was a mansion in Brighton.
Okay, great.
But it was enough. But they're huge and furry.
Yeah. And I kept in touch with this one lady who is a breeder over in Canada for a year. And the dates just so happened that she had about 6 or 8 little puppies that had never been on snow before. Mm. And she was about to give them away in 2 days' time. And the Rippers were the first time they were about to go on snow as well. So it was these puppies and these little kids' first time that went on snow. And I was like, puppies, snow. I think we've got something here. And it was the cutest thing to film. And we put it up and it went viral, 1 million plus, and then went all the national news in Canada, which is always good.
Which is for a snow resort. Like that's, I think there's the radio websites that are sort of primed to go viral. Not taking away from you making viral videos at the radio station because you made shitloads of them. Mm. But you were also working with amazing talent. Like that's amazing having a video for a page that's who's going to that? Like a few.
Yes, exactly right. It managed to get the people that love snow, people who've got kids, but it also worked with dog love. You know, it just sort of ticked. And that's the greatest feeling is when you're able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the times I've been fortunate to work with lots of celebrities in Australia, overseas, put together video content, and you go, oh, yeah, the video with Selena Gomez is going to do well because she's got the most amount of followers on Instagram. So you're going to be okay there. Or so sometimes the idea might be undershadowed by, you know, those sorts of numbers. But then there are other examples where, you know, you can see that it might be just a combining factor. But one of the proudest videos I did was actually with Sophie. She was over at Silver Star with her ex-partner and
The Bachelorette, the one?
Yeah, yep.
So Sophie Monk was, for our international viewers, that she was on The Bachelorette. She was The Bachelorette.
Yeah, yeah, first celebrity Bachelorette, I suppose.
And then she fell in love with Stu. Oh,
I forgot that it's not all celebrity. Do they just do celebrities now, or is it on and off celebrity?
No, they did Sophie, and then I think they saw that it worked and they got Honey Badger.
That's right. Is that a celebrity? Like,
it, yeah, he was a famous rugby player. Yeah,
famous rugby player. Okay. So they went with Soph, sure bet, to find some entertainment. And she found Stu. And so she was over in Silver.
Yeah, they were
Silver
over. Yeah, they just finished filming. They came over, which worked well for me as well because I was going over. I had to spend the winter there. So they had a really good time there. But then, you know, they went separate ways. And so a lot of the time was spent with me
you
and Soph.
You mean on reality show that wasn't real love?
The best dating.
They're not together forever?
Yeah, but you know, it's so funny.
Did it feel real? Did you think like, as it like perspective? Yeah. It's like it's.
It was the weirdest thing because you've got. I was in Canada at the time. Soph's gone on the show. It's gone mental at the time. Mm. It was just everywhere. I think at one stage, on every single front cover, is her face.
Yeah,
and the ratings were there. And but it was really nice being away from it all because it meant that, you know, I could just sort of see it from afar. I checked in with her every now and again, and then. I found it bizarre when I came back to Australia. Everyone was talking about, oh, yeah, what's in the contract that you have to be with this person and all this sort of stuff that was not true. But I can understand having been in a situation where you're a watcher of these shows, you know, and you're naturally going, oh, is it really legit what's happening there? But, yeah, it was all legit. And, yeah, so they broke up. And one of the ways that Soph, I suppose, spent her time focusing on, you know, not – the breakup was in creating this idea that we had to put together a recruitment video for the staff at Silver Star. So it was – that was as planned as it came, and it was how do you make that interesting? So we spent about 3 days writing, and most of it, to be honest with you, majority was Sophie's ideas, and she's so creative and just thinking of different scenes to interject. And anyway, we put the video together. It was a big thing. We put it online. It had, you know, a million plus and, again, went viral on all the news channels and stuff like
it
that.
It was amazing. There, it was like that one shot idea of like, you know, all these different things happening. And
feel free to put it on the overlay if you want to.
Oh, we don't do overlay yet. That's in the new studio. Oh,
okay. We will link to it in the show notes. We'll link to the video in the show notes. Oh, yeah, it was so impressive. Mm. And I remember seeing it on news websites and crazy.
Yeah, that was cool, like, because it was Sophie wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
There was no – and that was the nice thing. It was Sophie's not in it. We've got the people who are actually – genuine workers there.
Yeah.
And it was really nice because it showed how much the Silver Star staff would care for their guests and do anything. And to be honest with you, most of them are Aussies. So it's a really nice, you know, family fun sort of place to go to. And then on top of that, yeah, it was just, they had a lot of fun. We actually, it was very organic sometimes. Like someone said, oh, you know, we've got these stunt people who have been working on this new film, blah, blah, blah. They're along here and they're here and they're happy to do some work. And so we were like, this is brilliant. And we got them on a skidoo, snowmobile, and got them to do jumps and flips and all that sort of stuff.
That's so cool.
It's pretty cool.
You're on both sides in some ways where it's like you are working for a brand, but you've also seen Sophie with the influencer side of things. How do you see it from a brand perspective of having people stay at resorts and things like that? What's the metrics that you're looking at in that regard?
It depends on who they are. And
can we get free pass?
Yeah. The Daily Talk Show OB. We'll do an OB
live
5 days a week.
You can ski free.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'll give you a ski free pass.
Oh, perfect. Can Mr. 97 ski free as well?
You can as well.
His bosses are watching right now going, Oscar's a loose cannon.
He's just offering dish in Australia. Liability.
Lost our car.
Give you a free car. What's your perspective on the whole thing?
I am all for it if it works out. I've done some partnerships with even bigger brands and everything's great on paper. Everyone gets really excited beforehand and then it doesn't fucking happen. And it's so frustrating. It's, you know, because you can see it's not going to work, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. And you're doing everything to try and prop it up. And if there's just no partner, if there's no one on the other side, then it just falls flat.
What doesn't work about it, do you think? Is it like the you're asking people, hey, you need to post us. There's commitments around posting. They just don't meet that.
Oh, no. That was, sorry, I was giving more of a partnership. Yeah, corporate thing. Yeah, sorry, with brands, like with influencers and stuff like that. I think it just depends on who they are, how many numbers they have, how valuable they might be. And also one thing I always want to know is like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Like the last thing you want to hear from as a creative is, oh, this is what you have to do. It's just, you know, oh, yeah, you want to come to Silver Star. Why? You know, what do you want to do with it? What are your thoughts? Because imagine if they came along and they said, look, I actually have this idea. I really want to do this idea for a three-part, you know, web series and whatever, and this is the concept, and I've got this person, this person, this person, and we can make it this big. So it actually might work out well. Some people might just come for a day and do a post and that sort of thing, and that might be okay as well. But, yeah, so it just depends.
I mean, you gave Sophie Monk the credit for the idea behind the recruitment video, but I think
definitely
the – you should give yourself more credit. You've had some amazing ideas come to life. Do you think that radio was where you learnt those idea sensibilities?
I think that radio helped me believe, like to think of an idea and to execute it. Mm. That's the only thing that's stopping people from not doing what they're doing is the execution part. And you're in such a, you know what it's like. There's a billion things happening, and you've got to just constantly sort of go with it. So you're forced to think of an idea, and to be honest, it's also about good teams. You know, I think we were quite fortunate in the teams that we had to work with in being able to do things. And then, you know, then later I was working with Kyle and Jack, and I'd go, "Hey, I've got this idea," and it wasn't met with, "Oh, you know, you shouldn't do that or you can't do that." It was, "Yeah, no worries, we'll just go do it." You know, just it wasn't an issue. How much money do you need for it? Oh, I think, you know, one time we gave away $10,000. Yep, no worries. Well, let's do it. You know, if it's going to help out and whatever it might be. So that creative, that environment allows you to go, okay, let's think of anything possible. What would be really good and why would it be good and who are the people we're trying to target? And then, yeah. And you have some, you know, a lot of wins and there's a couple of clangers in there as well. I remember once we decided to do a – I don't know whose idea it was, but we it certainly wasn't the best idea – was we had a guy propose to his girlfriend in a Portaloo.
Oh, great.
Not
was
clever.
It an integration
Not
with Kenny?
Kennard's hired? Or no, Kenny your mate. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it was just a shit idea.
Shit idea?
Yeah.
The radio stuff, the content – the content part of it, where do you, like being zoomed out a bit, where do you think that radio could potentially go?
With the shows on air?
Yeah, or like the future of all of this stuff. In you know, 5 years, 10 years' time, do you have an insight being out of radio now of where you think it will go?
I think it's just wherever the money is.
Yeah.
So I think if they're able to still create these great shows and have really talented people, you know, and they have the sales team behind it and they've got the ability to market, then I think it'll be around for a while. It just will change naturally. You know, you start to – and their deals will start to change. So say, for instance, you know, back in the day, a client comes in, you've got to think of these ideas. I think a lot will be tied – a lot of the digital will be tied to a lot of the talent, I think, from now on in.
Mm. Well, so the scale of their business is their asset or liability, like them not being able to – I mean, we felt it in some times where there was no support and you're in a big business. I always felt like when I got to those major markets, I was like, fuck, I thought this would be different.
I think prioritization as well, right? So they're prioritizing, you've got like the on-air talent and all that sort of thing, and you've got that sort of idea that all that matters is what's through the speakers and coming from that sort of school of thought.
I will say I think there has to be some shift, and I know there's only a handful of talent that are still at the top, but they have to be willing to play ball.
You have to be digitally friendly. You have to be on social media.
But you know what? Anyone that's right at the top of the talent field, they know that, and they're really smart, and they get their value and what their value is to big business, and you know, they can understand how to connect the two probably better than anyone else. I'm talking even, you know, EPs and you know, other management and stuff like that. So I think they're across that part of it.
Yeah. Have you seen yourself as a I guess talent's not the right word for any of us. It's like a creator. I know that you're a content creator, but in terms of like your rise of your social
personal
media,
brand,
your personal brand, like being associated with Sophie and doing the great work you do. Have you ever, like, do you see that as a thing, or is it
all
like
the current affair gear?
I've actually got another one up my back pocket with Trace. Hey, Trace. No, you know what? It's so funny because I look at a lot of some of my friends who are influencers on a different level to, you know, so, you know, media personality, and she's obviously aligned with Nine and all that sort of stuff. So it's sort of different that versus the influencer side. But you see all these influencers and they create content and they go to these things and I can't be fucked doing all that stuff. Yeah. Like my fear is to have to go into a room and have to talk to a lot of people that I don't know, don't care about. And then I'm trying to take a photo to show people that I'm there. It doesn't do it for me. I would rather take a photo of my car, which just got stolen, and try and hunt it down that way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I've got the energy. I'd rather focus my energy on doing something for another brand or if it's a good idea, if it's a fun idea, yeah.
I think it actually ends up happening that you become the influencer that way. Like, I think it does where the focus isn't on, I want to be, you know, front and center at the parties.
Yeah, I think that you just... I don't know. I just can't be bothered. I think it's, and I want to be as authentic as possible on your social. And like sometimes I'll do stuff for work because it's what I'm working on. But yeah, then I'm like, oh, maybe I should post because people don't know where I live. Yeah. You know, it's just even those sorts of things. So I don't know. I just sort of go, oh, do I like it? Yeah.
What's your relationship with pitching ideas? So for instance, like I saw you in, were you in Italy with Soph doing a TV thing? How does that happen?
Oh, what was that, just quickly? Because I don't have a TV.
So we filmed a special. Mm-hmm. So Sophie and I have a production company which we started about a year or so ago called Lazy Susan. She thought of the idea. That was one of hers. And so which is funny because our production company is Lazy Susan. And then you think about it, one of the biggest or best, you know, production companies, Working Dog. So you've got Working Dog. You know their philosophies, and they've got Lazy Susan over there. It's like, what, did you get around to anything, guys? Oh, no, we're working on stuff.
It's so funny.
So we did a special for Nine, Sophie and I are in it, and produced it, and we're just looking at recutting a few bits and pieces. But
has it come out yet?
Nah.
Okay.
And so what was the actual process? Or no, the process of like, how do you fucking, like, how do you pitch for things? How do you communicate? How do you... it sounds like with re-editing and stuff, there's sort of like stakeholder management and all that sort
there's
of shit.
There's just no set way at all. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you the way that it happened for us is not the way that it would happen for many other people. It just depends on the situation and your value and their priorities and understanding their priorities. And I don't – the process, it was very much centered around Sophie, obviously, because she just got off the Bachelorette. That was just something, a passion project that we'd want to work on for a while.
And you got to go to Europe.
Free holiday to Italy was so amazing. Good.
And so have you got ideas in the pipeline for Lazy Susan?
Yeah. But I think it's like, it's the same thing. Like we want it to work for the both of us. We're both very fortunate and we've got separate things. Mm. So it's more of a passion, it's always centered around passion. So even if like, because naturally I'm talking to different brands all the time, there might not be something that we can work with there, but I've got this idea that I wanted to work on. I'd love to pitch to you to see if you think it might work. And then that might work in that space.
Mm. And how do you put together, like, are you fully writing out the idea, how the video looks?
Depends on who they are and what materials I've got and what the idea is. But sometimes I'll go in – how I used to do it in radio is I just used to think visually about – very, visual. I'd think about how the idea might play out. I'd write a little one pager or whatever and I'd send it through. And then it just got to a stage where I went, oh, hey, I've got this idea. And then you just sort of – you go away with it. With businesses, it just depends on the type of people they are. If they're quite risk adverse, they might want that time. Mm. They want to see all the dots. And it's frustrating for me because I'm just like, oh, yes or no. It's fine if it's not going to happen. You just let me know. Yeah. I've just got to be respectful. I think that's part of the process when you're working with someone is to work out how it is that they want to work, and because you want it to be valuable. You know, the last thing you want to do is for it to not succeed.
Yeah. What's your relationship with social media?
It's very strong. It's the only relationship I've got in my life. So, yeah.
Do you think do you think it's overstated at the moment, the sort of – the mental health stuff and the negativity of social media? Do you think it's understated or overstated?
I think that, I don't know. I just think it is what it is. Like I see people that promote mental health with it and I get it. Like imagine when you're growing up having to, because, obviously Facetune and, people are half nude all the time. And I suppose it was like that for us in a different form with magazines or whatever whatever generation it was. So it's always there. The generation above is always coming through the ranks and they're always, there's always an issue with the younger generation coming through and worrying about them. And you know what? I think that it's like bullying happens regardless. It's just what medium that it comes to you at. And I don't know. I'm not.
So you're not a screen time guy? You're not like managing how much time you're spending on your phone or anything?
No, nah. Not
we should just have a quick check.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? This is a brand new find, so it'll be interesting to see.
What happened to your last one?
That's the ACA story.
It was in the car.
Do you know what? This is my second replacement.
Is that an iPhone 7 Plus?
Why is it a replacement? What do you?
They did that. They replaced mine last week too. My speakers went.
Yeah, mine I couldn't call, and I was like, "That's the only thing you need to do."
Yeah,
I feel like there's people who just put up with this stuff, and then there's people like us that are always looking. I'm looking for a replacement. I've gone in twice.
How good is it though? Because you've got a new. So you've got what's that?
This is so good because I've only literally just got it as of yesterday. So my screen time, just so you know, everyone, I only like to do 1 hour and 50 minutes a day.
Okay.
What's the breakdown on that?
Is that actually
1 hour and 55 minutes is social networking?
Are you going to be in trouble from Instagram? The boss? Your boss watching, thinking
Skype? You love Skype.
I'm so glad this is not what it was normally.
Wow.
No, why it doesn't show your website. Grindr? It won't show you.
That's not matter. That's good. Okay, so yeah, Skype a lot because I'm Canada.
Get a bit nervous. You know, people get real funny with their phone. Well, but also
you're like, oh no, don't get your photo.
Yeah. There is.
Be careful. It's use at your own risk. You know when you have to give your phone back after you've used it at work?
I'm going through the photos
and I'm like, what screenshots do I have?
Dude, I was on a plane the other day looking and I could see a guy sitting in the aisle seat, but he was kind of a couple in, it was vacant. So I had line of sight to his laptop and he's just going through his photos on his computer. He just got to dick shots and it was him.
Oh, and you saw it.
Oh, it was him. Yeah. It was, yeah.
How filled the whole script like there was that many that he took that it was.
I actually once.
Is this you? Is this one of these stories? Where like, I saw someone.
Once I opened up my phone in front of a girl and I had her Instagram open as I've opened it up. I was like next to her. She was like, I knew her. We weren't dating. But
did you call it out?
No, I fucking got out of it and she ignored it. It's one of those awkward ones where you know they're ignoring it.
But stalking happens. Yeah. You know, it just does. So I just go, stalking. Yeah. And you're shit, by the way. You need to really ramp up your... I love social media. I think it's really good. But you do get tired of it. Like sometimes you go through Instagram and I've got friends who have to get rid of the app for a little bit because it actually affects them.
Yeah. That's me. But at the moment with the Daily Talk Show, I've been managing that. And so my use time, like I could spend 5 hours on it.
Do you think it's maybe because it feels like it's a bit inconspicuous, like who's on there?
But also progress. I feel like there's progress when you're doing stuff, especially with the Daily Talk Show. I feel like when I like something, it's like it's also visibility. Like I've told this story to myself around like, oh, me interacting and consuming content is also good
there
for
is
the
a
show.
Different feeling for your own personal branded Instagram versus a page. Like how many Instagram accounts do you have?
For myself.
Do you look well, after like the Silver
I've got,
Star?
Yeah, the yeah. Silver Star. I've got that and I've got
like I remember when you were looking after a bunch of the radio stations. Annoying. Like yeah, so many.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And no, Instagram used to be so
I've actually
bad.
Got that and I've also got my dog Humphrey.
Okay, how many followers is Humphrey got
Well,
now?
I stopped posting on Humphrey's because he started beating me and I thought, fuck you. You don't do anything and I'm doing all your content and you're getting a bit of me. So he's 1,241.
What happens with Humphrey? What happens with Humphrey when you go away?
A really good friend of mine, Connor, who runs Dogs of Melbourne, she looks after him.
Is that an Instagram account?
And that's it's an Instagram account and it's also... a dog walking, dog minding all around Melbourne. So I've got the best person to possibly look after my dog. She, you know, he goes on adventures every day and all. And I get all these photos coming through from me when I was in Canada. It's awesome.
Did Humphrey get a bit annoyed at you?
Nah, doesn't care.
He doesn't care?
Oh, you're back, yeah. You know, doesn't care.
All right, if it was a Staffy, you'd be anxious and...
Oh, Staffy.
Yeah, they're very anxious.
What if
Davidson. We're just now looking at
Instagram. That looks so incriminating, I've got to say. This just popped up on my phone. I know you can't see it, but it's a friend, a mutual friend.
Yeah, Tommy D.
And he's topless.
Doing some modelling stuff.
And it just looks like I'm staring at
it. It has that vibe. What if you learnt from...
Don't go to the... You know when you go to the Explore feed and it's all obviously all the content that you resonate with the most?
It's your brain.
Oh, yeah, so like going into mine now. Oh, there's a lot of male fitness.
Because
I'm very fit.
Tattoos.
There's lots of dogs, puppies and snow. And it's weird. There's a few...
It is funny. It's like your YouTube search. I reckon YouTube search probably says a bit more about everybody in terms of your Discover page, your homepage.
Yeah.
I spend much time on YouTube?
I just, like yeah. Just, yeah.
Do you have it on? Because I have it on my TV. Like, it's my number one app on my TV and stuff. Yep, you don't get into that?
Yeah, occasionally. My housemate will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't set like a timer going, I can't wait to go home.
Okay. Well, I'm doing a bit of that. What have you learnt from hanging out with and working with Sophie?
What have I learnt?
Yeah.
Oh, good question. She's got a great ability to be fearless and it's a really good and just to be nice and have fun.
Mm. Where does it come from?
For her?
Yeah, where do you think the fearlessness comes from?
I think it comes from that when she's been fearless in the past, it's paid off. Mm-hmm. And also when you feel, you know, that sense of vulnerability as well. Like everyone wants to try and be this certain image. And that's when I sort of thought about it, like when the car got stolen, I thought, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to put it up on social media because do I look like I'm – does it look reckless? Yes. Does it look like I can't get to my shit together? Yes. Does it look – oh, another – you know. But I thought it's true. Yeah. And just be – and, you know, you got to be – and she's very that as well. You know, she's – that's one thing I probably learned a lot from her. So she – I think she learned a lot from LA because she spent 10 years there and you can imagine, you know, being blonde and walking in to casting agents who say, no, and it's because of this look. Like it can obviously affect you. So I think her motto, yeah, is just very much to be happy and you know, she's got a mum and a dad that she looks after on her property, you know, on the Gold Coast. Like she's got a house for them that she's set up with. So, yeah, she's done really well.
What about Jules Lund, your cousin?
Yes.
He's taught me a lot. He's a great person to have in your life if you're wanting to get into, I guess he's, you know, mindset, self-development, but also career is very career-driven.
Yeah.
What I know he used to make you film him in the early days before he was a B-lister.
So what we would do. Such an asshole. No, so what we would do.
Now he's a dick. No.
He said it on the show himself.
Did he mention this?
No. He mentioned his status.
Yeah, so he used to pay me, and he actually paid me quite well. This is, I was still in school, to write 30-second and 60-second scripts like he was doing pieces to camera. And so it started off with him in his bedroom where I wasn't even allowed to go into his bedroom. I'd set the camera up on the tripod and close the door and I was out talking to his mum, my auntie, while he did his thing. And then he's like, okay, yep, I'm ready. And then so it started from there and he just grew his confidence to being able to talk on. And so we'd have him down on Chapel Street and I'd get him to jump up on a garbage bin and have to do a piece to camera to, you know, those big cameras back then with people walking by and keeping focus. And I'd only just, you know, show him the script a little bit so he's forced to just do it off the top of his head. But that actually prepared him to go and do an audition at Channel 9 and, you know, next minute he's doing Getaway.
What were you like in school?
Me?
Yeah. Like a media kid if you're cameras and stuff?
Yeah, I always. And I knew it wasn't the cool thing to do, but I did not care.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we had I went to school at Xavier and they had I couldn't believe it because I went in there in year 10 and one thing that I loved about it is I walked through and they had an actual TV studio there with cameras.
Amazing.
And no one's using them. And I was like, this is incredible. Mm. So I really want to do that. So in order to do that, part of school sport, you basically got to choose if you wanted to do swimming or footy or basketball. Hey, basketball would be great for Oscar, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I chose AV, audio visual, which was going and getting a camera and going and filming the people who are playing sports.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, that's a fucking boring job doing that. But it was good because it just gave me those basic skills and we created a TV show that we made the school watch once a week or twice a week. But it was actually a really good experience and helped me with school skills to, you know, do what I'm doing now.
Do you think it's cool now? Like, I know it is more cool to be a filmmaker.
Everyone wants to be a YouTuber. All the kids want to be YouTubers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you think these media rooms, I mean, your mum used to work at Xavier. Do you think they're being utilised now by all these kids?
Well, the funny thing is now you don't need a TV studio and you don't need to use that giant camera that they've got there in the studio and the mixing desk and all. I mean, that's all good experience to learn if you want to get into actual TV. Mm,
yeah.
But you can see these stars. I mean, you've had them on your show that just use the mobile phone and they're able to do it.
It's an interesting conversation, the type of camera that you should use. And I feel like I was very much in my early days. Doesn't matter what you got, you just got to use what you have. And then the later thought, like where we're at now, is we offer a high production service that's expensive and high quality and needs to meet all these, you know, different factors. But
are the factors what size and scale?
Well, it's more what type of what's the brand? What's their aesthetic? Are they a premium product? They can't be seen to be using an iPhone for this kind of thing. So we, for what we do, we can offer a high-end production service, which doesn't mean that this isn't good to film on your phone, but it's just a different model. And so when I hear, I've had two people this week say, oh, look, you know, businesses don't care what cameras you use, but that's actually just where they're at and their story.
Well, the story at the beginning, it's like content is king. And if you got a shit, if you don't have, it's like with using the example with the Jules stuff, if he doesn't have the input, if he doesn't have that original bit of script or something to work off or something to talk about, it's really fucking hard. You can buy a podcast, you know, set up really inexpensively.
Yeah, great talent will shine on shit quality production.
Yeah, and so that's the thing, is it's like you want to the barrier to entry shouldn't be the camera that you're using. Having an iPhone is perfectly fine to start making YouTube videos. It shouldn't be the excuse, but then there is a point where it's like you've got this content thing sorted. Let's match it up with like
shit. Well, I feel like working closely with you, Oscar, I've seen that it wasn't really a thought. Like you've always been idea led.
First, yeah.
First. Hey, are you still thinking like that?
Yes, but it depends on what it is that you're doing. So if you're doing a branding piece for a brand, that's going to be shiny. It's going to that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to engage people in the content that's there though. Mm. It all depends on the content. So you can have something that's really shiny. And I get there's a place for it. So say, for instance, a company comes along and says, hey, we want to show 60 seconds of the best of a ski resort. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find the best content, but I'm going to make it look really high, you know, a certain level of quality to it. So certain cameras, certain photographers, whoever it is that we've worked with, because the point of that is they're going to play it and they're going to display it in a whole room full of people. Yeah. But if you want content to do well on digital, then I'd rethink the whole thing. Like say, for instance, it was the ski resort wants to create brand awareness with their competitors, with whoever it is, then I would go out and think of what the idea might be and then what would complement that. And, you know, you've got to remember a lot of people, when they're going through their – they're scrolling through their feeds, is they're used to seeing quality, you know, phone quality, and they're almost instinctively more engaged with that quality. Mm. Similarly, we did a video the other day where I used high-end quality video, but I – formatted it so that it was in that longer social media friendly format, which is higher engaging. So it just depends on the idea.
Well, you don't want it to look like a TV commercial because then people know it's being sold to. I think that's where people end up parodying these formats where it's like, oh, I need to make it look like a TV commercial so people will think it's more legitimate. But really, you can tell the difference between when you're flicking through, say, Instagram stories. Mm. When it goes to an ad and it's produced and all that sort of thing, it straight away loses. I just flick straight through versus if it actually feels like it's in your feed and it's organic and it's part of the whole platform, it's different.
And then it depends. Like, are we doing an ad? Are we actually going, you know what, we're doing an ad, or are we going to try and do some content and do organic native sort of and I love that style. That's my favorite thing to do, really. And then but there are opportunities to do bigger things, and it's good though, because you've got constantly, and particularly with all this social media that changes, you know, you can now do certain length of story on your Instagram, you can now do Instagram TV, but you can only do it if it's certain size and all that sort of shit. But you just, I think if you keep doing it and you keep involving yourself in it and you keep an eye on it, then you have a better understanding of what,
So when do you leave to go back to Canada? When does
probably that won't be for until the end of the year, but and I might, yeah.
And the living arrangement, like do you live at the resort?
Yeah, I stay in a hotel.
It's one of the ski in, ski out, like you can...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, there's a whole
village.
Never
done the skiing thing
before.
I'd love
to go.
I feel like I would fuck my back real bad.
Definitely.
I think you would.
You heard like the F1... He's not even skiing, he jumped into snow.
Is it like how many injuries? I know that's probably not great PR, but do a lot of people fuck themselves?
Well, yeah, if they're silly on it, then absolutely. Yeah. But it's a pretty incredible thing to do, and you know, it sometimes can be seen as like a very privileged sport because it costs a lot of money to do it. Yeah. But there are ways that you can do it, and even Silverstar, it turns out to be a lot more cheaper to go over to Silver Star, stay at the accommodation, which is right next to the ski runs, have the skiing, which is better quality, more snow, less people on the runs, less wait times, and have a cheaper holiday than going to a local Australian.
Where do we book? Where do we book?
SkiSilverStar.com. No, but you know, that, but that is the truth, and that's with a lot of Canadian, and particularly on the dollar. But yeah, so I stay. There's a hotel there. It's called Snowbird, and I stay in one of the.
Amazing. So is it with like really other people
it.
Who?
You've really worked.
Is there anyone else that you're working with that's on like the same floor? Like, do you have like an employee floor type of thing, or you're just amongst?
Oh no, I'm the exception to the rule.
Always has been, always will.
Oscar, I love that. Yeah,
mate. Thanks for being on the show. It'd be we're eventually going to fucking do a bit of a world tour, maybe 2020.
That'd be
we'll
great.
Come, yeah, come
we'll
on.
We'll come and do take you up on the free skiing, and maybe I'll get a back brace or something in preparation.
Is there any sort of desire to make the production company more of the full-time thing outside of?
Only if the opportunity allowed us to. I mean, I think we're both pretty relaxed with it all. It's like, let's let a good idea happen. We've been lucky with the video stuff we've done in the past. Let's not just turn it into something where we have to employ, we have to do this, and it becomes a labor. We just want to do it, just the merit of the idea of the whatever it is that we're working on.
I love it. It's probably that's how it will happen for you.
Thanks for coming on, mate. It's
Thank
a daily
so
talk
much.
Show hi@thedailytalkshow.com is our email address. And we answer emails and stuff when we don't have guests, because otherwise it's just a bit admin heavy.
It's boring for you.
Yeah, so. Daily Talk Show. We'll see you tomorrow, guys.
See you, guys.